How many are glad to know that the freedom that God has given to us, the freedom to dance before Him, to love Him, to be passionately engaged by Him? And today, for just a few moments, okay, I want you to celebrate this week, a week in this nation. You know what? Today we've worshiped God and none of us have worried about being shot. We've worshiped God today and none of us had to hide. We've worshiped God today and we've spoken the name of Jesus loudly in this country. And I just want you to know that doesn't go on everywhere. And so I want to talk about worship today. We have the freedom to worship in this nation, to worship the God as we choose. Now we have the freedom to tell people about Jesus. I don't want things to be changed, do you? I think the freedom to worship or not to worship is a given right in this country. And so we have the freedom to proclaim the favor of God and to preach Jesus freely. Amen? Now, guess what that means? That means that those who build mosques have the freedom to build a mosque. And that's okay. You know, in fact, they asked me, they said, what do you think about them building that mosque? I said, I'm so glad to live in a country where people can express their religious views freely. I said, I'm glad to live in a country like that, that has that kind of freedom. I'm not scared of a mosque. In fact, I got a little bit of Elijah in me. You know, it looks like to me that Elijah wasn't scared of the prophets of Baal, was he? In fact, he even got a little cocky. He said, y'all want to see some fire? He said, go ahead and dance a little harder. He said, well, no. He said, where is the fire on your altar? Where is the activity of your God? Where does the worship really make a difference? He said, dance a little harder. Scream a little louder. Cut yourself a little more. Do some more gyrate. Break it this way. Break it that way. There ain't nothing happening with your God. He wasn't scared of Baal because he knew Yahweh, the God of all things. I am not scared of other religious systems because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've come to believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that the blood of the Lamb and the power of the resurrection supersedes everything else that's ever been put in motion, that man can never come up with a plan greater than what God has given us. Yeah? 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 Let's let some freedom ring. Go ahead and let it ring. No, let me hear you praise Him if you're going to praise Him. Let me hear you praise Him if you're going to praise Him. Yeah. Hold on now. Some of our guests are going, they act like this? Yes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that Jesus is resurrected, that He's empowering us, and that there is freedom in those who follow Christ. I want to thank you for being here today because guess what? You exercised the privilege of this nation. You chose to be in worship today. And today you can choose to be in worship and follow Jesus in this country. I think we got to keep something in this country. I'm a student of history. I love studying history because history teaches us this. It teaches us where to stand, where to go, and it shows us what has actually worked. You can look back and see what really works. There's something that we must never lose in America. And if we lose this, we've fumbled the ball in a bad way. I really don't care where you stand politically. I don't think, you know, Democrats are more holy than Republicans or Republicans are more holy than Democrats. Those are just two parties. Now, I know some Republicans think they got Jesus cornered, but they'll be sadly mistaken to know that Jesus is a little larger than the Republican Party. And I thank God for that. And He's a lot larger than the Democratic Party, and He's bigger than an independent. In fact, God's not even American. Amen. God's not even a Baptist, or an Assembly of God, or a Church of Christ, or a Pentecostal, or a Lutheran, or a Catholic. God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the beginning, He is the end, He is the everything. We got to worship Him, yeah? We got to worship Him to see it happen. Now, this is one thing we can never lose. Doc, we can never lose this in America, man. This is one thing that's made this nation great. Guess what? This is the story of America. You can start with nothing and you can move to be something. Amen. Only in America is that dominant. You see, a lot of people say, well, I don't have opportunity. Well, let me ship you to another country if you won't see no opportunity. Amen. Let me just help you. I ain't never had no skinny person come ask me for food in America. When I come in this church, I ain't never seen anybody underfed asking for food. When I go to other countries, I see underfed. There ain't a weight problem when they're walking in.
They're hungry. They've had one meal. Pastor Bernard, you came from Africa. You can tell me that there are plights in other nations and we need to send the word of freedom. Amen? His brother grew up in Liberia. God sent him here. He sent him here for a reason. He didn't send him here to come here. He sent him here with a message. The world needs the freedom of Jesus. It's ringing in this place. The world. In fact, Pastor Bernard, I'll go ahead and tell him. We prayed. He said, do you think there could ever be a Hillview Heights in Liberia? Isn't that right? And then what we said, Pastor Bernard? I said, absolutely. Can't you see Keith up there with that hair in Liberia getting a grip, huh? You reckon he can break, Bernard? In fact, I'm going to send some of y'all to Liberia so you learn how to dance. Come on. Because we're going to dance in heaven. Even stuffy people are going to dance in heaven. We're going to laugh at them for a little while, but then they're going to get it. In other words, you know why I believe dance is important? I believe dance is important because we need to understand God wants us to let go and celebrate before Him. Watch this. What happened to King David? You remember King David? King David, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant in, God's law, God's standard, God's nature, when they were bringing that in, okay, and David had done it correctly this time. Remember the first time David just threw it up on a cart and brought it in. A lot of people died. Remember they touched the Ark of the Covenant. Then he brought it in according to order and structure. And as he brought the Ark in according to the order and structure of God, what did David do? He danced before the what? Yeah, he was so celebrated that God was in the midst of the city. Now, I want you to see this. We must never lose this in American culture. People, all people, everybody that has breath must have the opportunity to get better. That's a big freedom. And I'm going to tell you something. Now listen, you better always support public schools. Here's what's made that possible, public schools. Not everybody's got public schools. So as you're being critical of public schools, listen, schools ain't got a problem, the public's got the problem. It's just when you put them together, you've schooled them together like fish, then there's a bigger problem. But the problem wasn't the school. The problem arrived when the school opened in August. It filled up with problem people. And that causes problems to exist in a mass quantity. So we better get on our job in the Church of Jesus Christ declaring hope and freedom to the world. That anybody has the possibility to get better. How many of y'all believe that? That's the core. Now, Bob, we all want to, watch this. Now we're down to one of pastors' non-negotiable issues. I believe that all human beings have hope. You'll never tell me different. I believe that all people have the chance to be saved. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what mentality they are. I don't care what background they come from. Don't care what they've been through. Don't care what sin they've been in. I believe that Jesus Christ's cross is wide enough, big enough, powerful enough, overwhelming enough, committed enough to change whatever you got going on. That's the power of God. All right? That's Jesus. So, place of hope, a nation of hope, a people of hope. We got to worship God to get hope. And I want to give you three things today that does, all right? First of all, I want you to know God's all about freedom. Y'all sometimes see me preach, my little ears turn red, my throat swells up like a big old deer, and veins come out of the corner of my head. And it always happens when you hear me get on this. Religion, I despise religiousness. And here's why. It boxes in God's potential. Here's why you see me festered up. It limits God's potential. That's what the Pharisees did. They tried to accomplish on their own only what Jesus could do. You'll never legislate morality. I mean, we tried that back in Prohibition. As soon as we said don't drink, even those that never drank wanted to drink. How many of y'all do this? Watch this. I won't even think about having a glass of water until somebody says we're out of water. And then what do you want? Water. That's just how crazy we are. It started with this, remember? Don't eat from the tree. I think I'll have a bite off that sucker. See what I'm saying? Here's what God said. Watch this. I'm really telling you this. Jesus Christ is not about don't as much as He is do. He said, don't go be donors of the word. He said, go be doers of the word. And I found when you get into participating, you know, with Jesus and activated in Jesus, and guess what? The Word of God speaks. And when the Word of God speaks, hope rings out. And everybody's got a possibility. Listen, guys, if you're going to be here at Hillview, look at your neighbor and say, you're going to get better. You're going to get better, Anil. You're going to get better. No, tell them. You're going to get... No, tell them, Katie. You're going to get better, girl. You're going to get better. We're all going to get... That's what every Sunday, what are we letting? The freedom of God be released so people can get what? Come on, balcony, tell me. You got to say like it's better. You're going to get better. Amen. I had some people from up north I had to interpret for them. They said, what's better? I said, that's better. Improved. The hope of God improves my life situation. Now go with me to Galatians 5:1. I'm going to show you. It says this: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Let me tell you what. There are moments you've got to stand firm for freedom. How many of y'all remember this morning when we woke up and we're fixing to celebrate our Independence Day that blood was shed so freedom could be made possible? Now listen, I don't care where you politically stand on the war. That doesn't matter to me. Here's the deal. We got men and women who are in the armed services. They got it strapped on right now. They have gone to war by the declare of their nation. Whether you agree with that or not is irrelevant. They are there and they need your prayers and they need your support. And they need to realize that in their mind they're standing firm. They stand in firm. Amen. So pray with him. Watch this. We got over 30 men and women out of this church that are in the desert right now. Right now. As I speak, right now. They used to sit right over here in the corner. They used to sit right over here in the corner. And they used to sit right back there and right here and right over there. And several of them up in the balcony. And right now, they have that desert camo on and they're strapped down and they're fighting because they want people to do what? Have some freedom. Now that's the deal. Now listen, we wouldn't exist, we wouldn't breathe, we wouldn't live as a nation if we hadn't stood firm on some things. So don't get upset about that. Stand firm with them. Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Remember where we came from. Remember where we came from, boys and girls. This nation, it's not free. And our independence is not free. Your grace is not free. It's freely received, but the price was the blood of Jesus. Now I'm looking at you guys because let me tell you what. They forgot to tell you something along the way for the past 2 decades of your all's existence. Nothing comes without a price. I've met very few successful people that it was handed to them. Don't tell me you can't get a job. I don't want to hear that baloney. Don't bring that in my office. I will wear you out. You will wish you never met me. Don't tell me you can't find a job when I have people in Bowling Green, Kentucky that can't speak the language that immediately arrived here and found a job. Here's what you don't have. You don't have what used to be in existence. You don't have the mentality to say, I will do whatever it takes to make it, no matter what it is, but I will be there someday, no matter where I have to start. That's what's missing in America. So don't bring that into me. Yeah. I mean, you go to any 7-Eleven, they can't understand what you're doing, but they're taking up your money. Because they said, I'm in a place of opportunity, and I'm going to take advantage of my opportunity. I want to tell you today, you're in a place of opportunity. You're in a place that worships Jesus Christ. You ought to take advantage of your opportunity. Now, I'm shooting you straight today, yay? Amen. We got to live out our blessing and our opportunity. You'll never cower me off of that one. You'll never back me up. Watch this, people tell me, well, Pastor Harris, you don't understand. Watch this. Y'all don't know where I came from. The reason I preach this way is not my story, but it's my daddy's story. He came from nowhere, nothing, West Virginia. Yeah. He could write a sadder song than any of these sad songs I've heard in my office. But luckily, he had a grandmother that was a God-fearing, Holy Spirit anointing, Jesus-preaching woman. And she told him, we're going to read ourselves up over that mountain. And he did. And God blessed his life. And guess what? He took his story and placed it in my life. That's why I've always believed everything's possible. Now, that's where freedom comes. It starts where everything's possible. And I'm going to tell you what the devil's done. I'll tell you what the devil's done. Listen, I want this to be a church of freedom. Nobody comes in here limited. Everybody that hears the word of God all of a sudden becomes possible. How many of y'all are possible? You see, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Then do what? Stand firm in your potential and don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. God did not create you to be a slave. Somebody say, thank goodness. He didn't make us to be slaves. He made us to be children. What do children do? They rejoice. Watch this. Go like this. Now, be careful. Do this in slow motion so you don't knock anybody out in worship. Go like this. Come on. That's God. Come on. Come on. Y'all all try. Participate. Everybody just do it one time. Look at here. Don't knock anybody out. Get out of here. Now watch. Now go like this. Are those two different experiences? I mean, as soon as you go like this, what happens? Your arms tighten up. Your head tightens up. You feel what? Strapped. That's slavery. That's slavery. You see, this nation had to go independent because we were fixing to be slave to a king. We'd already been slave to a king once. For all y'all that want the church and the state to join together, that's what we got over here for. I don't want Jerry Falwell running the nation. His name is Jesus, not Jerry. Thank God. I don't want to be one of Jerry's kids. I want to be one of Jesus' kids. I don't want to follow Joe Osteen. I don't want to follow Steve Ayers. I don't want to follow Charles Stanley. I don't want to follow a church system. I don't want to follow a constitution. I want to follow a crucified, risen, God Almighty Savior that's here from the beginning to the what? End. Now, hello. We got to have some Jesus followers. And one of the ways we start following Jesus is worshiping. Here's the way you're going to stand firm real quick today. Go with me to Galatians. You're sitting there on the fifth chapter. I already got it loaded up. Okay, fifth chapter, 22nd verse. I want to give you three things that worship does that creates power. Three things I want you to leave with today. These are three firecrackers that better be going off in your spirit. These are M80s too. They ain't them sissy M60s. These will blow you up and get something done. Amen? How many of y'all ever blew stuff up July 4th? Pyros. How many of y'all wanted to blow up stuff and couldn't? Because you weren't allowed to play with kids like us. Yeah. We used to always do stuff. What if we put this in the milk jug and put some diesel fuel in the milk jug? About that time, boom! We heard, y'all quit playing with stuff. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you something right now. Freedom's not about doing what you want to do. It's about having the opportunity to be what God's made you to be. That's absolute freedom. That's where it gets good. Three things happen in worship. First of all, you get a grateful heart. You got to know who God is. Write these down. You're going to know who God is. Every Sunday, you ought to be here to worship. And don't tell me this. Pastor Steve, I don't feel like worship. God don't care about your feelings. Amen. He cares about your destiny. Amen. We got to get over this. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. I got people that do this to me. They come to me and say, Pastor, I feel. I don't care how you feel. I care who you are. Because your feeling isn't going to get you to your destiny. Watch this. If I had to wait when I was in school to feel like going to school, I wouldn't have been yet. Some things you got to do. Now listen, if you all will embrace the word of God speak, if you listen to that song and you embrace that, God will start releasing you. The longer I live, the more I've become convinced that a lot of this oppression and stuff we deal with is because we have bought into the slavery of feelings. We become a slave to our feelings. I don't know about y'all, but my feelings will lead me wacko. If I want to go crazy, all I got to do is start following my feelings. Because I can go to the mountaintop and soar with the eagles, and I can swim with the fish pretty quick. And they catfish, too. They ain't even pretty fish. You know, I'll be out there hanging out with the carp. So I can go from a high to a low, and it just rocks my world. Now, you say, well, where in the world do you find stability? I said, if I start listening to Jesus, the first thing that happens in worship is I learn who He is. Second thing, Worship allows me to receive the power that He has. In worship, we receive power. If you will, charges your batteries. How many of y'all find that during worship, it's harder to sin? It's kind of like this. I know nothing about the computer, so some of you computer whizzes help me out. All right? What does worship do? It downloads God's potential in our lives. What are we doing in worship? We're syncing up to the heavenly realm. Y'all know that little thing on the computer? We push sync, and the program goes... Yeah, used to. I remember the old computers back in the ancient days when things were ancient, primitive computer time. How many of y'all remember dial-up? Long, long time ago. And you'd push that dial-up and it'd go like this. You could hear it. And it was like there were little people in there hooking stuff up, screaming at one another. Y'all remember that? Our kids don't remember that. They didn't grow up in this primitive, prehistoric technology time. How many of y'all remember when cell phones weighed 25 pounds? Yeah, that would probably cause some kind of medical problem.
Do you think cell phones cause brain cancer? I said, I don't know. The old ones used to, though. They weigh 25 pounds, cause shoulder problems.
But you had to have one because you wanted to be what? You wanted to be like J.R. Ewing, and he had a 25-pound cell phone, so you figured you needed one. You know, everybody looked like they worked for the phone company back then. A big old phone strapped on the ancient days. What happens in worship? God downloads His power into us. Third thing that happens that I want you to get a hold of today is this. We become the reality of God. Here's what happens in worship. God's power and potential begins to connect with our reality. And we become the reality of God in the world. If we want to keep freedom alive in America, we must become the reality of God in the world. What do you think? And that takes me to Galatians 5:22. I'm going to keep bringing these up. Every year I'm going to bring these up because guess what? We've got to grab a hold of those. People say, well, you preach on the fruit of the Spirit a lot. I said, because the church doesn't live it yet. It don't matter. Watch this. Sometimes you got to go, oh, listen, Spencer, Chase Goff, how many times did I tell you to keep your head up? Yeah, it was more than once, wasn't it? We had that sermon on a daily basis. Chase, keep your head up. Why? I wanted him to understand what was going on in the game. Same to the church. Keep living God's reality. And let's look at God's reality. Let's look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's let it really become open to us for just a moment and become God's reality. You ready? Here's the things that happens. First of all, in worship, we realize who God is. Y'all got that one down? Today, realize who God is. Number two, we receive the power that God has. He downloads His potential inside our lives. Number three, we become God's reality, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We become the love of God. How many of y'all realize that promotes freedom? Love people constantly. Be in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my what? How many of y'all got the strength of God? It's the joy of the Lord. I'm serious. If we can, you know, God, when we step into the day, now let me footnote this. Worship is daily. Not Sundays only. Daily we got to step into the day. This is the day the Lord has made. And even though I don't feel so good, I'm going to go on with His truth. Two things create worship according to Jesus. John chapter 4. He said, I'm looking for people that will worship in what? Truth. I hope those are the two things you always find at Hillview. Spirit and truth. The Spirit of God is the spirit of love, joy, and peace. And the truth is God calls it like God calls it. And you can't back away from the truth. Now, I know some of y'all don't like it when I have to give real truth. Some of y'all are flinching and go, well, I ain't coming back. You notice that never has affected me. Why? What's God looking for? He didn't say go get them. He said preach to them and worship in what? Spirit and truth. And so if you're in spirit and truth, it says Jesus be what? Lifted up. When Jesus is lifted up, what happens to human beings? They're drawn unto God. Isn't that cool? Love, joy, peace. God's reality in our existence. How many of y'all know you feel a little bit freer when you know you're loved by God? How many of y'all, when you get a little joy in your step, it's easier to turn down the things of the devil? Amen. Do y'all know I'm telling you the truth? The best the devil can do is tingle you and then give you a headache. Come on, I'm telling the truth. The devil cannot bring life. And here's the problem, you see, we've had about 30 years of feelings, nothing more than feelings. So we get tripped up so easy because the devil can make you feel good. He'll even turn you on to religious activity to make you feel good, but you still wake up with the same headache in the morning. God said, no, I don't want you to have a feeling. I want you to get a life. That means this, even when you don't feel good, the reality of God is still in motion. Now, that's spirit and truth. Huh? Amen? That's freedom. And look what happens next. Then you get patient. How many of y'all need a little patience? You get patient. And you get joyful. Put those words up there. I want to see these words for a second. You get patient, gentle, joyful. Huh? And what happens to you? Those aren't the right words yet. Have they gone to sleep up there? God bless them. There we go. There's the right words. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Now look. Now let's look at the next three things. Patience, kindness, goodness. How many of those are your reality? I hear about you all the time. Listen, y'all are blessing people at Walmart. Praise be to God. I'm serious. Bless them July the 4th. Watch this. Some of y'all are going to go to fireworks. If you do those three things in a line waiting to watch fireworks, what will help you? You'll bless somebody. Watch this. Just be patient. I don't know why everybody rushes in a crowd. I ain't figured this one out. When you're in the back of the airplane, why people get so anxious and stand up and go crazy? You ain't leaving until they open the door. I just sit there and chill out, wait till everybody get off the plane. There's people rushing too. They'll go, I mean, if you're in that big a hurry to get three steps ahead of me, go ahead, brother. I'm not going to knock you out with my suitcase to block you off. People get hostile in airplanes. I'm like, you know, you're going to leave. I don't like airplanes because I'm not in control. I'll just be that honest with you. I'm not sure the dude knows how to fly. You know, sometimes you get up there and you can't see anything. You hope it landed at the right place. You hope it stay up there. And then when you get there, they can hold you in that tube for hours. I've had them pull me out there on the tarmac and say we were leaving at 2 o'clock and it'd be 4 o'clock before they leave. What they said, we're pulling out from the gate and sitting on the runway for 2 hours. They didn't have that on the ticket. But they can do what they want to, right? Be patient. Be kind. Be good. Be faithful. Now note this. When you really start worshiping God, I'm going to tell you, when you start worshiping God, I want you guys to hear this. You won't quit as easy. Can I speak to your generation for a minute? This is what's killing you guys. They gave you permission to quit. God does not. And they even told you how to do it in a holy way. Because I'm just talking to y'all for a minute because I've heard all the adults do it. They'll do what I call the, let's follow the will of God, cop out. Well, the Lord's not leading me to do this. But 3 weeks ago, the Lord was leading you to do this. Let me help you about God. Once God speaks into you, God does not expect you to come off of that till it's finished. And at the first conflict, that's not the finish. That's the testing of your faith. And God says, you go on through that. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't feel comfortable. You will not find one place in the Bible where God has told us we will be comfortable. He's telling you the truth. Crosses aren't comfortable. Tombs aren't comfortable. Walking around in a pair of flip-flops for 50 or 60 miles, not comfortable. These things are not comfortable. They're called faithful. Being married's not comfortable. It's where people get shook. They come off their honeymoon and they're under this illusion. You remember, Smitty, a honeymoon is a mirage. Well, you laughing at Dr. Cox. I'm telling the truth, aren't I? Spirit and truth, huh? Wouldn't you agree to? Yeah. Carrie agrees. So you're not in trouble yet. I don't want to get any holiday trouble here, all right? We can, you know. Are you listening? Brittany, are you listening? You listening? It's a mirage. When you go on this honeymoon, people are feeding you. You know, you go into fancy restaurants. Your wife's looking at you and adoring you. Now, that she's over with that in 2 weeks. Then there's the reality of living. And guess what? That means when things get tough, we still don't quit. Amen. Let me tell you what. God will always bring you through. Amen. You don't believe me? Ask Noah. Noah, man, you're talking about faithful. Noah's my hero. He's building a boat. You know how long it took Noah to build that boat? Over 120 years and a little bit. He don't even know what a boat looks like. And for 120 years, he's pounding on something he can't even see. Huh? Here's what I'm going to tell y'all about God. He don't ever get in a hurry. And when you get stressed, he ain't upset. I mean, God doesn't go, oh, I have a human being that's upstressed. I must go get to that immediately. Oh, my gosh, somebody's having an emotional tears. I need to put all my power on their emotional tears. That really doesn't bother God. I mean, Lord, have mercy. Y'all worship a God that'll kill his own child. That was a verification from heaven. You better listen from here out. But guess what that God will do? Jesus shed his blood. Jesus lost his life so you could find yours. And God was willing to lose himself so you could find yourself. No greater love has ever been spoken. Freedom from death is finally being free at last. And I would rather be uncomfortably free than a comfortable slave. And that's all the devil has to offer you. Comfortable slavery. Because y'all know if you play any of his games, he charges. How many of y'all have ever heard about paying a fiddler? He's expensive. The dude is expensive. Yeah. So don't be looking around. You know, I have people look at me that have smoked like 5 packs of cigarettes a day and wonder why they got lung cancer. Wonder why. Wonder why. I mean, if I have a heart attack, that ain't a mystery to me. I'm not going to go wonder how that happened. I'm going to think about every good steak I ate. And I'm going to think about not cutting the fat off of it. I'm going to think about every chicken leg I put in my mouth in the name of Jesus. Colonel, fried extra crispy, put some more grease on the side. Now, I know better, amen? But sometimes my tongue just gets past my coronary problem. See what I'm saying? I'm saying, Lord, even if I do die, I'd rather die happy than eating this baked stuff. You know what I mean? I know God's going to fry it in heaven. Amen. When you go to the southern part of heaven, fried catfish. And they're going to be big old just grease pits. And we're just throwing stuff in there. Frying it. You can eat it all day long. No heart problems. But you better get to heaven first. If not, you'll be looking up in hell going, they eating fried food up there. And here I am just frying. See what I'm saying? So you got to be careful. I want you to be blessed. Amen? Hold on. I want you to be blessed. How many of y'all going to step into God's blessing today? Guess what? Here's the way you step into it. Last two things. Guess what? Be faithful. Know that God's going to stay with you. And then guess what? You'll be gentle, man. You'll relax and you get self-control. When you got self-control, look what the scripture says. He said, there is no law against such things as these. Well, if there's no law to regulate it, what does that mean? Freedom. You cannot, guess what the scripture just spoke? You cannot contain the reality of God. It will move past what tries to contain it. Freedom. Amen? I'm finished. I want you to be free today. Guess what? People have come to know Jesus today. Some of you all need to come to know Jesus today. I don't know of a better Independence Day than you would be able to walk out of this place going like this. Hey, I came in here all bound up in sin. That's called slavery. I'm leaving here free in Christ. Amen? I'm here free in Christ. Now listen, if all you can tell me about your faith is I'm a this or a that, you probably are missing the real deal. I have people all the time say, well, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist. I said, well, what about Jesus? I don't know anything about him. Some of y'all going to stand in judgment with some bad cards. You're going to say, I went to church. And the devil's going to say, yeah, I did too. How come you ain't let me in, Jesus? Have you surrendered to Jesus? Have you surrendered to Jesus? Here's what Jesus asked of you. How many of y'all realize you've sinned, you've messed up, and you've been in some kind of bondage? How many of y'all have sinned before? Everybody ought to have a hand up. Everybody's sinned. Even you people that don't think you've sinned. You've sinned. You haven't kept God first in your life always. How many of y'all have ever passed this one? Honor thy father and mother. Now tell me who hadn't dishonored their father and mother at least one time. There we go. Yeah, in the back there of the balcony. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I got another one too. It's called Do Not Bear False Witness. So you just blew that one. In church. Stuff happening in church. See, we violate the Ten Commandments. We need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. We need the hope of God. But remember, I started off this message today. You can start with nothing and become something, compliments of Jesus Christ. You can start as a person, a sinner, in your sin. And Jesus said, while you were still a sinner, I loved you. and I died for you. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. Everybody listening? Grace allows you to change.
Amen.
And when you have real grace, you change. See, I don't have a problem when people ask me, when they ask me this, they say, well, Pastor Harris, you know, what about these people that come and they say they believe in Jesus and then nothing changes in their lives? They didn't get converted. Just saying you believe in Jesus, the devil will tell you he believes Jesus exists. But you know what? I have never found a person who had a genuine encounter with Jesus that can sin comfortably again. They keep coming back. They may wander off like a kid. How many of y'all got a kid that wanders off sometimes? But guess what they do? They always come back to the Father's house. Amen? Because the connection's there. So let's stand together. We got an opportunity for salvation. Also, I want you to join with the first two services. I want us to come pray for our folks that are in the military. I want us to pray that God's protection be on them. I want us to pray for our Iraqi people that they get to know Jesus. What do you think about that? In fact, I think Bin Laden would do better converted than dead. What do you think? Now, see, Dr. Ward, you know what? They think I'm talking crazy. You know who Bin Laden was a lot like? Saul. Boy, that got it quiet, didn't it? You know, the apostle that became Paul, guess what Saul did? He would kill people under the belief of his religious system. What does Bin Laden do? Same thing. When he got converted, old Saul became Paul. Did that change things? You know what? It occurred to me, I've never prayed that Bin Laden get converted. I prayed that a missile would come his way. But hold on, I got to apologize. Is that the heart of the gospel I just preached? God's desires, old Bin Laden, as messed up as he is, would come to know the reality of heaven. Because God's desire was Steve Ayers, as messed up as he is, would come to know the reality of heaven. I want y'all to pray Bin Laden get converted. Been saved. That's exactly right. Only Jamie. From Bin Laden to been saved. Watch this. I wonder what kind of revival that would cause. You know, we got some tape from a cave. I have found Jesus. He was in this cave. He said I could get out. I no longer will persecute believers, because now I believe. So you need to believe today. Yeah, it's real stuff. All right, well, let's pray together. Lord, you know what people need to do today. Lord, there's some people here that don't have a relationship with you. And they've heard you love them today. They heard you put joy in their life. They heard they could have freedom. And Lord, I just want to pray right now that you would open our ears to receive Christ. Listen, my friends, don't play games with God. Just don't even play him. Today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, why don't you ask him right now and say, Lord Jesus, I've messed up, there's no doubt. I broke your 10 commandments. I've not done what you've asked me to do. In fact, God, I even rebel against you. I come to church just to see what kind of attention I can get. But Lord, today, I've come to the reality that you are a real Jesus. You died on a real cross and you've risen from a real grave, and you would like to come into my life. Watch this, in a real way. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life. Man, God will honor that today. And would you come today and pray for folks? I want us to pray this in our nation. I pray in the name of Jesus, we will not lose hope for people. And I pray always this will be a nation where it doesn't matter where you start, because you always got the hope to finish differently. And God help us the day we take that away, because then we'll no longer be America. I'm not talking about being rich. I'm just talking about finishing better than you start. I'm talking about opportunity. And right now,
Even if you want to be deeply critical, everybody's got opportunity. It may not be as easy for some as it is for others, but everybody's still got it. I don't care what the road looks like. I care we still got a road. And that hadn't been shut down. So don't let the devil tell you it's been shut down, because he's a liar. He doesn't want you to realize there's a way out. And his name is Jesus. And he'll change you forever. Lord, this is where I've been. Jesus, forgive me, because it's not where I want to stay. Lord, help me go with you. I want to be a part of the resurrection. That's what I can be. So today, why don't you come and let God touch you in a real way? Come and pray for those soldiers, men and women, in Iraq and Afghanistan. Pray for Bin Laden that he might bump into Jesus and the prophet that is truly the Son of God, God in flesh, speak truth into his life. Possible. It's the word of God speak. This altar's open now. It's released. It's here for you. Several of you need to come. You need to be baptized. You claiming the name of Jesus and then not stepping up with the obedience of baptism. That's incongruent. If you follow him, do what he says. If you don't follow him, then don't do what he says. Do you follow him? So come now. Let's praise God. This thing's open. You come on. You come on.